Lord Jesus, please draw us gently to your side, even through the wound of your heart. Draw us and help us to recognize the things we've been skating by when we examine our conscience. Help us with faith and hope to be willing to tackle those and clean stains from our garment so you can lavish the fullness of your provision on us for the spiritual work ahead. Amen. Springtime is coming, dear heart dwellers. As you know, we've been under opposition for a very long time. Really, it's been an uphill grind since the campaign and election of President Trump. We have accompanied him through crisis after crisis with our prayers and fast offerings, and just about every single heart dweller has had more than their fair share of suffering and opposition. A lot of us have grown because of that, really grown. Some of you have been deeply depressed and weary from fighting. Well, the good news is that we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And more about that in the next message. Ezekiel has had numerous prophetic dreams of what is to come in the state of the church and personal holiness and total devotion to the Lord, where he's taking us up the mountain. He's working with all of our sins, not the ones we so easily recognize, but the deep disorder in our attachment to the world. Different forms of avarice, our attachment to relatives and friends, the tendency to complain and find fault is also being exposed for what it is, and he has called me to overcome these slippery sins that I write off so easily as being justified because it was a hard day. Or shouldn't I put my relatives first? Dear ones, the Lord is not kidding around. He's very serious about us giving up these gray areas of attachments and sins that we avoid dealing with. The sin of avarice. Oh my goodness, that is so prevalent. And I'm just beginning to realize how dangerous that is, because in Ezekiel's dream, avarice, the people coming out from hiding after the purification of the earth, they were so eaten up with avarice. That is a super dangerous sin, a very, very dangerous sin that can cause people to make terrible choices in their lives, like marrying for money, or taking a job that has a good salary but is not godly. I didn't realize how dangerous avarice was until he had that dream. That entire crowd of people, thousands of people, were going to perdition because they'd given their lives over to avarice. Anything they could find along the roadway, signs, or any kind of garbage, anything they could find at all along the roadway, they would try and steal. They were so hungry to have something. And the sins of gossip. You know, in a conversation, letting some things go by and not stopping it right there. And unbelief. The times when we think, you know, this is just too much. I can't do this. And it causes us to have a lax attitude so that we don't really commit to something. All these things have held us back from greater blessings. He wants to give us more, dear ones. He wants to use us. When you see someone close to you suffering, you long to relieve them. And if you get any inkling that your sins may have opened a door for the enemy to add to those sufferings, you begin to ask some serious questions of yourself. And that's what's been happening with me. I don't want my husband to suffer. And I know that when I do something I'm not supposed to do, he ends up suffering more. And I've seen that. It's just amazing. The Lord is really, really showing me the effects of some of these gray areas that I indulge in. He is calling us to account, to be sparkling clean. He's calling us to deeper repentance and cleanliness of soul. He wants to shower his choices, gifts upon us, but we are holding him back by sins we don't want to deal with, sins we so easily explain away and make excuses for, things we say and do that are less than perfect. For my part, he's been playing my song, Who May Dwell, every single day in worship. And from hundreds of songs that come up, there are also his most loving and tender invitations to be in his arms. We are the love of his life. He longs to bring us closer and deeper into his heart through these times of trysting in the secret place. I am falling in love more deeply with him and beginning to see the areas in my life that are still offensive. And when I see them, I want to change. I'm going to go ahead and share with you the essence of this song to give you an idea of how he's been addressing the different things in my life. So who may dwell in my holy tent? He who walks righteously, speaking truth from the heart. Well, this is about sincerity when I speak, not being cushy and flattering with people, but being sincere. And if there's something there that isn't right, and the Lord is calling me to speak out about it in great charity, knowing that I'm far more guilty than the other person. But if he's asking me to bring it up, I have to bring it up, not just skate over it. He who rejects dishonest gain, reporting income and withholding nothing, and stops his ears against evil, movies, books, songs, the news, magazines, newspapers, who stops his ears against plots of murder, all forms of entertainment that glorify this behavior. We shouldn't be watching them. And shuts his eyes against contemplating evil, wanting retaliation when we're hurt, who slanders not his neighbor. Someone does you dirty or disappoints you or betrays you, and you run around telling everyone about it. You know, there's that thing that wants to expose them, but that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to cover for people and keep these things hidden. He who does not harm another and never defames a friend, being two-faced, one way with your friend, another way on the phone with someone else. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Do we change the emphasis on a story to make ourselves look more pitiful or like victims and the other person bad? Or do we report something honestly when we're called to speak up about it? He who hates wickedness, refusing to look at or contemplate all forms of idolatry, cars, women, clothing, the occult, witchcraft, horoscopes, recreational drugs, but honors those who fear the Lord. Do we give preferential treatment to those of the household of God? Do we make sacrifices for them and lift them up in our lives? He who keeps his word despite the cost, coming through on a promise when you barely have enough to make ends meet, sacrificing time to help another because you promised them. He who lends no money at interest, accepts no bribe against the innocent. When confronted with a situation where an employee is innocent and the manager is corrupt, do we side with the innocent or try to keep our jobs by siding with the guilty? And this is the result of cutting these sins out of our lives. He shall dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the mountain fortress. That talks about God's protection. His bread will be supplied and water will not fail him. And here is both the living spiritual bread and the living spiritual water, as well as food for the body. And his eyes will see the King in his beauty. We'll grow in intimacy. Isn't that what we all want? To be able to see and hear the Lord clearly? Wow, that alone is worth it. And you will also view a land that stretches afar. We'll be lifted up in the heavenlies to see the kingdom of God coming to earth and our own part to play in that happening. Dear ones, if you have a witness in your spirit to any of these sins, I have to go over it several times a day. Please take them to the Lord and ask him to change your heart. Don't come under condemnation. That's what the enemy wants. No, come under the truth and under the hope of all the good the Lord has stored up for you and is now ready to impart. If we're going to be in ministry, we have to be an example. Our lives have to be clean. And here's the song I want to share with you. You can download it from this site, going to Claire's Songs, or just Google it. And this is from the Psalms, by the way. These are taken from Psalms 15 and 24. Walks righteously, speaking truth from the heart. He who rejects dishonest gain and stops his ears against plots of destruction, who shuts his eyes against contemplating evil, who slanders not his neighbor nor harms another, and never defames a friend. He who refuses to contemplate harming his brother and keeps his tongue from evil, never using his lips to deceive. He who harbors not bitter envy and selfish ambition, who keeps his heart free of judgment and always speaks well of others. Forgives offenses and is quick to confess his own fault, who is lenient with the shortcomings of his brother and swift to correct the error of his own ways. He who spends not his life on worldly gain and pleasure, but looks after the needs of the poor and the alien in his midst. He who cares nothing for the praises of men, nor courts their favor, but considers his ways before God and seeks only his favor.
You will dwell on the heights, never to be shaken. You will dwell on the heights, never.
gives thanks when things go well, as well as when things go badly. Who entrusts his life to the wisdom of the Almighty. He who forms no complaints in his heart, nor utters a deprecating word, but makes his heart a tabernacle of praise and thanksgiving to the Most High God, always giving thanks for his benefits. You will dwell on the heights and never be shaken. Your refuge will be the mountain fortress. Your bread will be supplied, and water will not fail you. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty, and view a land that stretches afar.
You will dwell on the heights, never to be shaken. You will dwell on the heights, never to be shaken. Be shaken. You will dwell.
Jesus began, "My beautiful, beautiful bride, your loveliness has taken my heart captive. Truly, you are a wonder and beautiful in all your sufferings, shouldering your crosses with great resolve, and some of you are even doing this with great joy. This is what I meant when I said, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. The cross is never easy. And as you carry one and build that spiritual love muscle that allows you to keep going and pressing into greater and greater depths with me, you are becoming beacons of hope for the world. It is the love light of your sufferings that shine upon the poor captives and bring hope to their hearts and minds. I know it is never easy, but the fact that you continue to press in proves your great love for me. And I am smitten with you, my bride. Nowhere do you find such selfless love as you have displayed in praying, fasting, and putting up with your thorns. Nowhere does love like this shine forth to open the doors of salvation and change to the most wretched of human beings. This love originates in the heart of my Father, and though I have completed the sacrifice on the cross for all souls, I still require these offerings to bring them the gift of my love, that they will turn from their sinful lives to embrace me. Oh, how I wait for them to be weary and seek a better life, to seek me. I beg of you not to join in the world's condemnation of these souls swathed in darkness. Rather, remember them as little ones coming forth into a dark world and being captured. Do not join in on condemning these who have sinned in your government. Rather, hold them up tenderly in your arms and ask for the grace of repentance and salvation. Great indeed is the rejoicing in heaven over just one soul who has repented. And I smile upon those who have my heart for them. Do this for me. Love them as I have loved the brutal Romans who crucified me. Love them as I have loved you, and pray for their conversion. Springtime is coming for you, my brides. It is indeed coming. But now I ask of you, seek me and seek to know your most obscured sins. Clean yourselves to the very depths of your soul, for I long to impart to you the treasures I've stored up. But I cannot fill you until you are empty of pride, selfishness, evil speaking, and complaining. I know you struggle greatly with these things, but it is no longer optional. To enjoy the fullness of springtime in your lives, you must exorcise these sins and demons forever from your midst. For you who overcome, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. I will overshadow you with my goodness, and under the shelter of my wings, the nations shall find refuge. That first part was taken from Revelation 3:12. Am I worth the struggle? Many of you have proven that I am. But I still wait for those who are toying with sin and not taking it seriously out of their lives. I do not want to leave you behind in the move of God that is coming. I want to use you. I have marvels stored up for you. I long to garland you with the choicest graces. You have gone halfway, three quarters of the way, for long enough. Now is the time to go all the way and put those things I detest out of your lives. Put those things that have wasted your time out of your lives forever and embrace all I have for you. Empty yourselves of your attachments to the world. Circumcise your hearts, and I will wash them clean to receive from me the wonders I have stored up for you. If you will work, I will work with you. You have only to resolve that these things matter no more to you, and I will lift you up to the heavenlies. And that's the end of the message. And he's speaking right at me, heart dwellers. I've had enough of the entanglements through my own foolishness. I want the 100%, and that's what I'm preparing my heart for. All of you have encountered tremendous opposition to your hopes and dreams, and this has caused you to look at yourselves under a microscope to see what is opening the doors. In the process of doing that and lunging forward for the vision he's given you for your life, you have cut out many things that were irrelevant. But now he's asking for the final quarter, the very things the enemy has used against you. Because of your faithfulness, God is going to arise and fight back these powers that have checked your progress. He is going to rise up and cut the bondages to set you free, to lunge forward into your callings. Only just be faithful, not to entertain these things of the past. Purify your hearts and lives from what has been used against you. He is rising up on your behalf to conquer the oppression that has been targeted at his bride so you can labor for him in your callings. Let's not disappoint him. Let's give him our all.